I'm thankful to be in the meeting here. Thankful for the challenge that it is to my own soul to make heaven my home. I'd like to share with you a challenge that I have for myself. The challenge for myself is, what are the chances that there are of me having spiritual success in my life consistently and make heaven my home? Because, you know, really, we're not home yet. We've got some living yet to do. And I've looked at some men, some lives of men that were much closer, seemed to be, had a lot closer walk with God and lost it before they died. And it needs to be a warning to me.
Yes.
It tells us in Ecclesiastes 9 and 11, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Sometimes we'll look at someone and say, they have every opportunity. They're going to make it. But you know what? We're facing the devil. I was looking at a couple men, and I'd like to share them with you to start with. One was Solomon. It tells us he was the wisest man that ever lived. He had understanding. He had a relationship with God like not many other people had that kind of a relationship, to where God could ask Solomon, you just tell me what you want and I'll give it to you. I believe that was because God saw what was in Solomon's heart. Solomon told God what was in his heart. Lord, I'm just a child. I don't know how to govern these people that you have given me. Had a very humble heart. And God knew that he could trust Solomon. It says his speech pleased God. His walk pleased God. He built the temple for God to dwell in, and God was pleased with it and visited him a second time. You know, we've been hearing about you need to have a relationship with God. He had a relationship with God. God told him, I accept this temple, pleased with it. I want my name to dwell here forever. That's what I want. But there was something that happened in the second visit that I don't see in the first visit. God told him, I want my name to be here forever. But then he used two little words, but if. If you choose to not have this relationship, then I choose not to carry my end of the bargain. You would think Solomon would never give up his end of the bargain. Solomon would be so pleased to walk that close to God that he would never let it go. How could he have ever let it go? Because he kept on living, and life keeps bringing decisions to us every day. And I wonder, he was the wisest man that ever lived, so he surely knew Bible better than about anybody else. God let him know the things that could pull him down, and he allowed it somehow to start coming into his life a little at a time. To where when that third visit came, it was no longer a visit like the other two. It was God letting him know, I'm going to reject you now. This kingdom is going to be taken from you. It says Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs. Said he wrote over 1,000 songs, and he had such a close walk with God. And then he fell. And he had that third visit from God. And I've often asked myself, how different would it be today if Solomon would have followed his father's example in failure? You know, folks, it's going to be very important for us what we do with failure. It'll determine whether I make heaven my home or not. Solomon just as easily could have done what David did and said, I see it now. God, forgive me. I turn back. I believe his story would have been so different for us today. You know, each of us, a lot of times when we think about failure, we think, okay, went off deep into sin. You know, failure can be just me not listening close to the Lord when he tells me to stop talking. And I've got one more thing I need to tell him. And I lose that real close walk with him. I want to be real sensitive to the Lord. There is another example. The first service that we had here the other night, we sang a song that a Church of God minister had written, and I really enjoyed the song. It said, I praise the Lord who bought me, hallelujah. I'm a happy pilgrim bound for glory land. I am singing and I hope to sing forever when before his throne eternal I shall stand. Oh, I'll never cease to praise him, hallelujah, for he gives me peace abounding every day. He redeemed me from my sins and fully cleansed me, and I find his service sweeter all the way. Sounds like a real testimony. I don't believe this was fake. I believe he was walking that close to the Lord. Oh, I praise him for the strength he daily gives me. I'm running now to gain that heavenly prize. Soon with joy, I'm going to reach that goal of life immortal and go sweeping through the gates of paradise. D.O. Teasley had a close walk with the Lord, and failure came into his life. But you know what? It's what we do with failure that's important. What would it have been for D.O. Teasley had he said, God, I'm sorry. I allowed this thing to come into my life and I fell. Lord, I repent of that. You know, there is a verse in 1 John, because God has a plan. 1 John, the second chapter, first verse. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Should there come failure in anyone's life that they fall into sin, there's Jesus Christ to forgive it. You know what Satan would like to do for every one of us, whether it's a sin or whether it's a mistake, is say the best thing for you to do is just give up. Don't try. You cannot make it. I want to tell you something. If we want to make heaven our home, I'm going to have to get up, dust off, do whatever I have to do, because I'm going to make heaven my home. You know, apology is so hard to do. And why is it? Because almost every time when you do it, it brings such a relief to you. I had to do it at work the other day to just tell someone, look, I am sorry. I saw this in a way that I thought it needed to be corrected, and I realize now I was wrong. You know, I need to go through my life being willing to stop. Because here's the thing. I'm on a journey, and the devil has got a plan to stop me. And not just me. He's got a plan for you, too. So what is it that's going to give me the best opportunity to make heaven my home? There's a verse I'd like to look at it. Because when I think about Paul's life, you know, Paul thought he was doing the right thing. And then he headed out on the road to Damascus. And I'll read this in Philippians 3 and the 13th verse. You know, Paul had a lot in his past when he thought he was doing right, and he found out that he needed to turn around. He said he had caused some people to be put to death because they had served Jesus. Broken up some families by hauling them off to jail. You know, he had some things in his past that could have caused him to do what these other two that I've talked about that just I find no place for repentance. I don't come back and try. But Paul took a different approach. And I love that approach. The 13th verse, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I'll do, forgetting those things which are behind. And for every one of us today, if we will let it, the devil would love to take things that are back in the back, in the past, that I've already taken care of and cause them to plague my mind. Paul said, I forget those things that are behind. I'm reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong. It's going to be because I'm going to endure some things. I'm going to go through some battles and I'm going to win those. I remember when I was a boy in school, we would have field day and they would have little track meet. You know, they would have a 50-yard dash. Now, you know, 50-yard dash is not very far. It's 150 feet. So, you know, as little children, we knew what you do on that one. Just give it all you got. Just run just as hard as you can go. See if you can win. But you know what? There are some other competitions today that you don't do that with. They have things today called a triathlon. And you start out swimming 1 mile. And you get out of that, change your clothes, and get on a bicycle and ride for 25 miles. And then you stop that, and then you run for 6 miles. You know, you don't do the same thing with that as we did with the 50-yard dash, or you'll be somewhere laying on the ground beside the bicycle because you just gave it up. You can't make it any farther. You pace yourself. You realize, you know what, I got a long ways to go. And I'm going to have to spread this out a little bit. We had the owners of our company. I work in a high-rise building here in Oklahoma City. And the owners own several high-rise buildings together. And they came up with this sport competition a few years ago. They call it Dare to Stare. Because in those high-rise buildings are stairwells that go to the top and then another one that comes back down to the bottom. You ever tried to go up a stairwell and you haven't done it before? You get about 2 floors up and your leg muscles feel like they're on fire. Don't think I can take another step. Well, their competition was two of our buildings. One is 21 stories. You start out running, or they start out running, 21 floors to the top. Run across the floor, get on the other stairwell, and run back down 21 floors. And you got about 300 people coming after you that are in this sport. They come from all over the United States to compete in it. And after you have done that, you would really have accomplished something if you do that. But you run over to the other building. It's 16 floors. And you run to the top of it, go over, and come back down again. Okay, that's got to be enough. Nope. You run across the street to a building that's 31 floors. Run to the top and back down again. Well, I never have any desire to try that, but we work in that building, and Robert Salee used to work with me. And I used to tell him, I said, okay, guys, you know what? We need to kind of start getting fit a little bit. We need to start walking the stairs after we eat lunch. Let's just take the North Tower, 21 floors. After lunch, let's walk to the top and back down again. Well, really, what I realized later was I was the only one that needed it. The others didn't really need it. So one day, I tell them, okay, guys, it's time to go. I'm going to start up the stairwell. Let's all do it. And so Robert said, well, I'm not quite finished with my lunch. I'll be right behind you. So I go on up, and I'm about to the third floor, and I can't hardly breathe. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to make this. And I heard Robert come in the basement door heading up. And I could hear him as he's going around and around coming up. And it's faster than I'm going round and around. So I know he's going to pass me here in a little bit. And when he goes by me, I can hardly breathe. But I do look up as he passes me. And he goes by eating a can of peaches. He's not breathing hard. It's like he's at the park. He just got a spoon. He's dipping the peaches and going on up as he goes. And I'll huff a few more floors and I pass his can that he set on the floor, kind of a reminder to me that it's easy for him. Well, this is what they're due for an endurance. They run it. And I watched guys that started out running all three of these buildings and they came back looking like they had not even started running. Y'all got any more buildings? I'd like to run those too. It's amazing to me to see the endurance that people are willing to go with. Well, I want to tell you, that's for a temporal crown. I don't know what they got at the end of that, but it wasn't worth the leg muscles burning to try to win it. But you know what? We're in a race. We're in a competition. And I don't know how many of you were at the graduation the other night, but Brother Bob Wilson gave some advice to them that is very important, not just if you're graduating, but if you want to live for the Lord. And it was, don't give up.
That's right.
Don't stop. If you hit an obstacle and you fall, get up and go again.
Amen.
Don't stop. Folks, that's the only way we're going to make heaven our home, because we got some living yet to do. We got some things out ahead of us. There is a song that we sing. Many there are who start in this race, but with the light they refuse to keep pace. Others accept it because it's new, but there's not very many that expect to go through. Okay, that's what maybe others are doing, but what am I going to do about it? It says, I'm going through.
Amen.
Yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. You know what that price is going to be? It's going to be called dying to myself. And the Lord coming along and say, Dan, you got this problem that you need to take care of. And the easiest thing for me to do is say, you know what, that's just who I am. Or worse than that is say, no, that's not me at all. I'm not like that. You remember Peter? When the Lord came to him to reveal to him who he was. And Peter had been with the Lord enough to know that he was able to discern men's thoughts. He was able to tell who they were when they didn't even know who they were. And yet somehow Peter felt like he was different. When Jesus told him, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, Peter's response was, Lord, you missed it here. I know that I'm willing to die for you. You know what I need to be to make heaven my home is to be able to hear the Lord tell me something and say, Lord, I didn't see it before, but I will take care of that. Because my desire is I want to make heaven my home. I'd like to look at a verse over in Proverbs. Proverbs 24:16. A just man falleth seven times and riseth again. Now, you know, we don't endorse sin, you must. Nor do I see this to always be about sin. I can fall into troubles that come into my life. You know what? Troubles can separate you from God if you let it. Just the troubles of life that come to me. It says this one, he can fall into them seven times, just consistently got trouble coming into my life, and I rise up again. I'm still going to live for the Lord. There was another example that I saw. Pilgrim, a Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, when he said, I'm determined, I'm going to the celestial city. And he started out with a determination. You know, he hadn't made his first day yet. When he was busy with other things, visiting with someone, and he stepped off in the Slough of Despond. Had his friend with him. The friend said, if I can get out of this, I'm through. I'm going back. You know what I liked about Christian? He floundered around a while. But when he came out, he was on the celestial city side of it. Yes, he had hit his problems. But he came out, this is the direction I'm going. And I've worked my way through it. I'm not on the city of destruction side heading back. I'm going on. My determination is I'm going on. When he got into Doubting Castle, you know, he didn't say, if I ever get out of this, I'm through. I'm going back. When he saw the people, the man coming by coming backward toward him, saying, turn around, turn around, there's lions up ahead. He realized, you know what, I might have to lose my life here, but I've got this direction that I'm going. It's not going to do for me to turn around and go back the other way. I know what is back there. It's going to be that same way with us today. I may not know how to go forward. I may not know what's ahead for me, but I'd like to do what Job did. He knows the way that I take. And when he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold. He is going to help me. Here's what I'm going to have is resolve. I don't care what comes my way. I don't care what happens that I have to go and apologize for. Lord, I'll do it because I'm resolved. I'm going to make heaven my home. I was thinking of this song. I am resolved no longer to linger, torn by the world's delight. You know, there are some people that are hung up right there. Just the world drawing them. I've got to get past that. I've got to be resolved. I'm going to follow the Lord. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He has the words of life. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth. He is the living way. I will hasten to him. Hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. To be able to say, here's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
I've said it. No matter what the world around me does, and the religious world is lowering this standard more and more, you can make heaven with a 5-minute decision for Christ. You just say these words, and no matter how you live after that, you make heaven your home. Folks, I'm going to have to be resolved to turn away from some things to be able to make heaven my home. There is another verse I'd like to look at. In 1 Corinthians, in the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. My beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. And another verse talks about that we be no more children tossed to and fro. You know, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of winds of doctrine today. There's a lot of spiritual wind that is coming that some people can take off. I'll follow this now. Next week there's something else. I'll follow that. But that we would be no more children that could be tossed to and fro. I'm thinking about the need for me to be solid. I watched a building in Oklahoma City being built. And if you drove by it today, it would look like someone had hewed stone and placed it on each other. And that building looks strong as can be. But I watched it being built. And what looks so strong is styrofoam with a veneer on the front of it. If you had a small hammer, you could knock a hole in it. But they were able to smooth that thing over to where it looks like it had to have a crane to set those stones in place. They put the grooves in it. They put everything perfect. Except that I happened to see the styrofoam before they put that little coating on the outside of it. You know, we heard this morning about Ananias and Sapphira. You know what? Their life looked so solid when they walked up to Peter. We're giving it all. We're bringing it to you. When underneath was a veneer. You know what? I want to make heaven my home. Hypocrisy is the worst thing to try to bring before the Lord. I want to look before the people this way. Folks, it doesn't matter what the people think about me. It's what the Lord thinks about me. And I want to spend my time trying to please the Lord more than trying to please the people. Because I tell you, the people have got to be pleased when the Lord is pleased. So I want to spend my time drawing real close to him. There's another example for us. It's in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Talked about a couple houses that are being built. 7 and 24. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rains descended and the floods came, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You know, we read this story, the rain comes to everyone. The rain comes to the guy that is close walking with the Lord, that has built his house upon a rock. It also comes on the ones that has built theirs on the sand. You know, the worst thing for me to have is no storms come to me after I've built on the sand, until I am called to step out before the Lord and I find out that I've built it wrong. I want to be able to know today and every day of my life. I want the Lord to be pleased with my life. And I want him to tell me when he's not. Yes. And you know, for him to do that, very often, I'm going to have to respond to it. Yes. Or if he continually comes to me and I don't continually accept it, that's the song that we sing oft in the noonday and in the evening of night. Sounds in this bosom the warning, turn from the evil, do right. That doesn't have to be just for the sinner. That can be for the Christian. Just an adjustment that needs to be made in my life. Yet is the voice still unheeded, and that's a danger for me. I want to be quick to respond to that voice when it calls for me. There's another poem that we have. It says, God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our life through. He's not promised sun without rain, or joy without sorrow, or peace without pain. But here's what he has promised. He's promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way. He's promised grace for the trials. He's promised help from above, unfailing kindness and undying love. He hasn't told us if you get saved, you'll have no troubles come into your life. There will be troubles. Those are the things that cause me to run to the Lord when troubles come into my life. But he will be with us. I was thinking about Paul when God called for him on the road to Damascus. Paul had a lot of things come into his life to where we could have ended up reading his story like we read of Solomon's. He was close to the Lord for a while, but finally the last thing hit him and he quit it. He said, I'll not take another beating. We don't read that about Paul. We read where Paul said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself. What a record from a man that decides nothing's going to turn me around. I'm going to follow the Lord no matter what comes my way. And then after all those troubles, he could have said, folks, I just don't know if it's worth it or not. Did he end it up that way? Uh-uh. I am now ready to be offered. You know, he knew, I'm going to die in just a little bit. It's almost over. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. You know, I don't think there was any boasting in him. He was just telling a fact. This is why with confidence I can meet this day that's coming. And it's not only there's a crown waiting for me, but it's not only for me, but for us today, those that love his appearing. It's available for us. I'd like to close with one other verse, because he finished his with victory. We can finish ours with victory. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, tells us about there's some things that I need to do. There's things that God will do, but there's also things that I need to do. And the first few verses of this tells me there's some things that I need to be adding into my life. Add to your fifth verse, add to your faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, If these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Guarantee, if I will add some things into my life, if I will do those things necessary, I won't be barren or unfruitful. And then it says, the 10th verse, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You know, the Bible teaches that I don't have to fall. If you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. You're just going to maybe squeak through? Nah. This one talks like the gates are going to swing wide open. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, I want to have on my last day, and you know, we had a couple at the beginning, we had a couple stories of failures, but I want to tell you, we have so many others. This great cloud of witnesses includes so many that denied themselves throughout their life and made victory, had victory on the day that the Lord called for them. I am so thankful for those examples. And as I continue my life, I want to be sensitive to the Lord. It's easy for me to say I want a close relationship with the Lord. That's going to come by me listening real close at the times when He tells me, I need you to change this direction in your life. I want to be able to make heaven my home. We need to always keep in mind there's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. And I will do whatever it takes to make heaven my home. I desire your prayers.
Amen, Lord.